Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Time for another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. We'll have the Major with us here in just a moment. We'll start talking about some of the really neat things happening around the state in the great outdoors, hunting, fishing. He loves to talk about archery, do a little bit of that, and some of the other outdoor sports you can get involved with. Of course, you've got the big Southeastern Wildlife Exposition taking place this weekend in Charleston. Thousands of people will be there, and it's a great time. Great time to pick up some art. Big time. Great time to just kick back and enjoy talking about things in the great outdoors around South Carolina, the streams, the rivers, and the oceans as well. So, are we ready with the Major? We're trying something a little different. That's why we're hesitating here. Let's see if we've got the Major with us tonight. Major Downer, how are you? How are you?
Doing good. Can you hear me, Phil?
We've got you loud and clear. How's everything with you?
We're back on using the new feed, eh? So
that's right.
Everything's going good. Thought tonight we hit a topic we hit pretty much every year around this time. So a lot of interest right now in coyotes. So thought we might hit a little bit about coyotes in South Carolina. A lot of interest in that.
Sounds like we lost him. Yeah. Okay. We might have to just give you a call, Major, because it sounds like the internet connection just wanged out on us. You know, it goes wang. Sounds like it just wanged out on us. I was hoping this would work. I was hoping it would hold, but I see that he's dropped too, Pat. He's gone. So we'll give you a call, Major, so stand by. And we'll do it the old-fashioned way. That's the one good thing about phone lines. Unless something like, you know, nuclear happens, you can pretty much depend on what we called the old-fashioned telephone lines, POTS. We used to call them plain old telephone service, POTS, in the radio business. So we'll lean on our POTS tonight. Major, are you back with us?
I'm back with you, Phil.
Yeah,
right here.
Yeah, we gave it a try, but the sounds like the internet was not cooperating with us.
We got it. We're good.
You sound good. You sound good and clear. So you want to get into the coyote situation?
We're going to talk about coyotes here for a little bit. Just where, again, a little bit of history on coyotes for folks that don't remember or don't understand the history. Coyotes first appeared in our state about 30 years ago. And for folks who think they're new to the state, they've been here quite a long time. They came here in a variety of ways, not some natural, a lot of it just people moving coyotes in that wanted to chase coyotes with hounds. Some illegal importation happened as well. But there was some natural migration as well. Coyotes continually steadily moved east from the Midwest and the Western states with the removal of their natural enemy or predator. It's not really a predator, but their natural enemy or competition would have been the wolf. So as the wolf was removed across the continent, coyotes began to expand because they didn't have any competition. Coyotes are not wolves. They don't hunt in packs like wolves, per se. They don't take large deer or large animals. They're not going to try to take humans. Coyotes do have, pups. They, about 5 to 7 pups per litter. And usually they reproduce in the late winter and have those 63-day gestation periods like dogs pretty much. And so when you see coyotes in groups, and most time you hear them howling, and you'll hear them, kind of make that if you're at night in the country and you hear a train go by, you'll know if there's coyotes or not. You'll hear them howl at that train. So you'll see them in pairs sometimes, small groups, and people call those packs, but really it's a family group for the most part. But they are solitary animals and like to move and hunt on their own outside of those family groups. The colors vary across our state, grayish brown to reddish tan to all black. All those are common colors. Usually around 35 pounds. Some can get up to 50 pounds. But generally, in that 35-pound range, they're smaller, thinner animals. What do they eat in our state? Well, as you see, if you've been around our state and get some of the hunting camps or in any of the nice hardware stores or places you buy your ammunition, you'll see posters that say, calling all hunters, help save our deer. Hmm. Hunters are needed to help control the coyote population. What we do know about coyotes is they do prey on the white-tailed deer. And I just said a while ago, they don't prey on adult deer. They prey on fawns. And they can be detrimental to fawns because they're going to wait, particularly when fawns drop, when they're very susceptible to predation, they're going to hit them quickly. And that even before they stand up, literally, when they're still wet, coming out of their mama, the coyotes will attack right then and grab them because it's an easy meal. I know that sounds gross, but that's just the circle of life, and coyotes are going to eat. So a lot of studies have gone into that, how effective coyotes are at taking young deer and fawns, and enough that they have affected the population in our state to some degree. Don't know the degree, depending on the part of the state. Savannah Riverside did some studies that showed really high mortality, somewhere around the 70% range mortality on fawns. And, you know, that's not an adult deer, but after a while, if you keep taking 70% of the fawning activity, you're going to see a decrease in deer population. So it is a concern. Again, they're not natural here. You know, we've talked about that theme all through our shows, Phil, that we don't like the unnatural in our state. We want a natural environment. So we do everything we can to promote the taking of coyotes, the killing of coyotes year-round. So what can you do to kill coyotes? Well, there's no closed season on private land. There's no hunting license or permit required to shoot coyotes on your property within 100 yards of your home. Now, outside of that, you do have to have a hunting license to hunt coyotes year-round. Electronic calls are permitted. You see a lot of hunting shows with those. Using motion decoys and then sound like a wounded rabbit to attract coyotes in. But what I will tell you is they are extremely smart. Hmm. You will catch the first one, maybe a second one, but the rest of them learn very quickly. If you use a call too heavily in one area, you'll find that it doesn't work anymore. The biggest, probably most successful way we have seen control of coyotes is through trapping and a heavy trapping program. Most common people aren't going to do the trapping enough to make an effect. You got to hire a professional trapper, somebody that knows what they're doing, knows how to keep their scent off the bait, off the trap sets. Coyotes are extremely crafty. They have a great sense of smell, and again, they learn very quickly. It's difficult to trap, but it's one of the most effective methods. Night hunting is permitted on registered properties throughout the year. And we have a night hunting registration you can do, and that's easy to do. It's online. Remember, the law basically says this, you know, feral dogs as well, coyotes and armadillos. I always find it interesting we throw the armadillo in there in our grouping. But the feral hogs, coyotes, and armadillos may be hunted at night on registered properties on which a person has a lawful right to hunt. Feral hogs, coyotes, or armadillos may not be hunted at night on any unregistered property except with a DNR-issued depredation permit. Hunting license required of any hunter 16 years of age or older. So on registered properties, these animals may be hunted at night with artificial lights, with night vision devices, using any legal firearm, bow or crossbow. It is unlawful to hunt feral hogs, coyotes, or armadillos at night within 300 yards of a residence without permission of the occupant. And that's for safety. That's kind of obvious. You know, we're allowing you to hunt throughout the year at night for coyotes, but we don't want you hunting within 300 yards of a home or shooting around somebody's home with a high-powered rifle. Mm-hmm. Just not smart without permission of the landowner or the occupant. So it doesn't apply to the restriction does not apply to people who are hunting their own property. It is unlawful to shoot or attempt to shoot a feral hog, coyote, or armadillo at night from or across any public paved road. So you can't just go out and shoot from the road. You got to be on your property off the main paved roads, public paved roads. You can be on dirt roads in the middle of fields, but not a public paved road. So this registration, you have to do it every year. To register online, you go to dnr.sc.gov. You'll see when you go to the main website, you'll see I Hunt registration off to the side icon there. If you have any problems, you can call our 1-800 number, 1-800-922-5431. That's our game thief number. We talked about that the last show. and they can direct you to where you can get your registration online or to a helpline if needed. That we have an officer that helps with that from time to time, folks who have problems. Because everybody's not tech savvy. I know you can't believe that, Phil, but
I would never know that.
You would never know that, I know. Not especially after tonight, having technical problems online. But anyway, you have to report the harvest every year and renew your registration. So we kind of want to know how many coyotes people are taking. I will tell you that it's funny, annually in our state, deer hunters report taking around 30,000 to 33,000 coyotes a year annually. And that's an incredibly large number when you think about it. But coyote numbers continue to grow, so it just tells you how large our population is. It's interesting, if you go and look, and I encourage folks that are thinking about, you know, why don't we do a bounty system? And if you go up and you go online and you look up coyote bounties, the history of that, and kind of how it's happened, it is, they did bounties in the 1800s for coyotes, way back when, in the Midwest, and there's still plenty of coyotes there with those bounties. Some of the problem with bounties is, how do you keep it honest? If you do a bounty for coyotes, how do you know people killing coyotes in this state? Well, you don't know. They can cross the county, state lines or whatever, bring coyotes in from county lines. You don't really know where they're killing coyotes. You start paying for a coyote, people will start bringing them to you from anywhere. So there's a lot of problems with some of that idea. Not that it's not something that could be looked at. It's just interesting when you look back in the history of bounties and coyotes that it's been done for years, and there really hasn't been a whole lot of success if you look at the history of it. Where they've done bounties, coyotes are still plentiful. They're kind of just that animal that just won't go away. And it takes a lot of money to put bounties on one. And where that money comes from is another issue. You know, how do you pay for that? But sure. Again, it's bad when you start talking about basically putting a target on animals back year-round. You open them up, no restrictions, except a simple registration system online. It kind of tells you the situation of the coyote in South Carolina, really. They're a problem. And, you know, what is their main food item? Well, traditionally they eat small mammals, mice, voles, rats, cotton rats, things like that. Extremely good hunters, but they do take, you know, fawns. They do take larger animals like that. But when coyotes spread out, and as we continue to see urban sprawl, as we call it, as the cities continue to expand and small wooded areas get inundated with housing and development, coyotes get pushed sometimes in the smaller areas. Seeing a lot of problems in the Charleston County area with coyotes. They end up living on golf courses, in culvert pipes having pups, making that their den. And then they, you know, when they get overpopulated like that, there's small areas shoved in there, they end up with manes where they look like a skinned rat almost. They look horrible. And they end up hanging around. They've had problems with hotel parking lots. And then people feel sorry for the animals. They start feeding them. And then you get that natural fear of humans gone. And now a coyote sees a human and comes up, and we've had cases where they've nipped people. Now, they aren't attacking people, but they're nipping people because they want food. And every time they see a human, they got food. So when a human walks by and doesn't feed them, they're going to go up and get your attention by nipping you. And nobody wants to be bitten by a coyote, least of all me. So, you know, it's a continual problem. We've talked about it year after year. It doesn't go away. We do encourage people. We've done everything we can to put posters out there. Online registration, making it easy, doing social media blasts to just kind of get people to go out and take coyotes, particularly this time of year when there's not a lot of – when deer season's over with, great time, January, February, March, go out and take some coyotes on your property or your hunting property. You know, get one of those calls, the different calls out there, and try them. And it's great for long-distance shooting. You can do it with a .22 rifle. You don't have to have a high-power rifle. You can use your high-power rifle, but, you know, as expensive as shells are and hard to get, 22s are a whole lot easier to get come by, and you can take a coyote with a simple 22 rifle, so or even a 17, which are fun. So they are an animal, again, that is a challenge for us. We encourage folks to go out and take those as much as possible. Again, we've done everything we can to kind of lay open the rules for them. But there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of discussion that comes up on these bounties. And it's just interesting. We look at the history, go back as far as the 1800s. We were settled in the Midwest. They tried to get rid of coyotes back then. They're still there. So, and now they're here. Not only did they stay there and get larger, I mean, get larger populations, they just kept coming. And we removed the wolf, and that was their natural kind of check, if you will. That kept them in check. And when the wolf got removed, coyotes just exploded. And we don't see any wolves in South Carolina, so coyotes are unchecked. In urban environments, they will actually take house cats. That's a preferred food source in a lot of ways. I've heard from game wardens across this country, trailer parks, no matter where they are, where there's lots of feral cats or house cats, coyotes end up being a problem because they target those animals for an easy take.
I was going to ask you, that was one of the questions they're going to ask you, like, what if you've got, you know, a penned-in backyard and you let your pet roam around back there? But, I mean, does a coyote, can they jump over the, are they athletic enough? I guess that's not a good word for an animal, but can they jump the fence and get back in there and cause you some trouble?
Any animal that wants to eat something may jump a fence, especially a wild coyote particularly, but fences typically are not where the problem is. When you have feral cats that, you know, crawl across fences on their own and get out in the wild, and run around, and that's when they're taken by coyotes. And I can tell you in my own home here in Sumter County, the farms around me, the folks and ladies that have cats are constantly battling, losing cats to coyotes here. It happens all the time within a quarter mile of my house. And it's nothing to go outside at night and hear coyotes yelling. I mean, yelping. That's just, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I live near a swamp, and they love that. You know, a corridor like that to run. Lots of open fields, lots of food. But again, it sounds bad to say they were come after a house cat, but it's just, the situation when you get coyotes into urban areas, and the closer urban areas keep pushing out into the wild, and we have coyotes, you have interaction problems with humans and our pets. So not they're going to attack your dog now. Nobody's saying that. Not going to start anything about attacking your family dog. But it has been shown that cats are something that they will come after.
They like cats. They like cats more than dogs.
Dogs are too big. Again, remember, coyotes are going after an easy meal. They're not going after something that could bite them back as much as a dog or something big like that. That's going to be something that they're going to naturally kind of shy away from. Because, you know, after all, they're canines too. But I know that cats are something that they do target. They target them all around my house, like I said. But mainly for us, the problems that we run into with coyotes, again, outside of the human interaction, these large cities, golf courses where you have these coyote problems. A lot of times the only way to remove them there is to hunt them at night. I know some of the police departments have tried to do that, and as well as trapping efforts to do that. Again, when you got coyotes living in culvert pipes, you got a problem. But across this state, they're everywhere. And generally, you know, it's always been told to me, and it's kind of followed true. If you see a coyote, you got a lot of them. Because they're just so wary, so smart. And when you see one, you've got 20, I mean, easily within range of those. You know, they're just everywhere. And again, for us, from a wildlife perspective, you know, they are here. We're not going to get rid of them. We're trying to control them. And we want to minimize the impact to our natural population. You know, nobody wants their cat taken, that for sure. But when it comes to wildlife, we're concerned about coyotes taking young deer and affecting our deer herd.
What do you do if you take a coyote? What should you do with it?
Well, a lot of people take and tan the furs. Some people, you know, we have that incentive program where we do the tags. They tag 16 coyotes a year with an ear tag, and they're put out. They're actually not put out, excuse me. So they're trapped and then released with an ear tag. That tag has got kind of a, if someone takes that coyote with that tag, they're put in for a prize basically in the year. They get a prize, basically a free hunting license, and then put in for a lifetime hunting license, excuse me. So there's an incentive program out there that we started several years back, and taking somewhere around probably three or four coyotes a year out of that. But again, That's not a lot when you got 16 out there every year, and every year you keep getting the ones that are left. But just shows how hard it is to take a coyote, really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and that's not really a bounty, but it kind of is. You kind of put the prize on that deer, on that coyote, to try to, you know, attract people to hunt them, to try to remove them. And again, going back to that natural environment and the way we like things in this state, coyotes aren't supposed to be here. But we got a question.
I think we do. Hang on. We'll get Pat to it. What you got, Pat?
Oh, we do. We have from Iva. We have Dennis calling in from Iva.
All right, Dennis, welcome into SC Wild with Major Billy Downer. Good to have you tonight from up in the upstate.
Thank you. Does the coyotes carry rabies?
Major?
So coyotes are just like any other dog. They can carry rabies. Yes, absolutely they can. So they are okay. canine species, so they can get rabies like any other dog could.
Okay, good. That's a good question.
They can get distemper. They can get parvo. All those that are familiar to the canine breeds for sure.
Do you have some issues?
Okay.
Are you having some issues?
No, I've gotten coyotes everywhere. I live out way out in the country, about 6 miles, and I can hear them yelping and yelping and yelping. And I just wanted to let the rabbit, you know, carry rabies. Mm-hmm. But I keep my dog mostly inside.
Good idea. All right, thank you very much.
Again,
appreciate the call. Major, you call them coyotes, but, I mean, what's the difference in coyote and coyote? Are they the
same? So that goes back to about 15 years ago. I got called out west. I used the word. It may have been 20 years ago. I said coyote, and the guy in the store said, "York." I went, "What?" Apparently, I offended him. He said, "Coyote." I said, "Okay." So I started... Ever since then, I corrected my English to coyote.
Coyote.
I did not want to be called down again.
Yeah, yeah.
While a coyote's out the door, it's coyote. So any Western people listening to me know I'm saying it the way they like to say it. So they had them long before we did. But the rabies questions, you know, is a good question. Again, if a coyote has rabies, then it may bite a dog. That's for sure. That's, you know, we know that about rabies. Dogs that have rabies will bite other dogs. When they have rabies. So those are concerns as well. But, you know, haven't heard of a major problem with that, but it doesn't mean that coyotes can't get rabies because, again, they can get distemper, they can get parvovirus, they can get all the same things that any other dog can get. But a good question.
All right, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Be careful out there with the coyotes. Major, got about a minute left for you.
Yeah, so, you know, the main takeaway tonight would just be, hey, coyotes, they weren't supposed to be here, but they're here to stay, and we're doing our best to control and manage that population to try to reduce their numbers to protect our deer herd. That's the main takeaway from tonight. So we encourage folks, if you're listening, if you haven't, if you're a deer hunter, we encourage you this time of year to go out and try to take some coyotes from the hunting property, get it registered, go online to www.dnr.sc.gov, look up Coyote Registration Program, night hunting registration. And you can register your property and list folks there that are going to hunt on the property. And you can go out and start taking coyotes at night with a light, with a gun. Again, it's probably the easiest method for folks to go out and take coyotes.
And just make sure you know what your target is.
Absolutely. Do not shoot at something you don't know where it is and know what's beyond your target in case you miss.
I mean, don't mistake.
You are.
Don't mistake a dog for a coyote, right?
Well, and that's a good point. Yes. Make sure it's a coyote. Don't shoot the neighbor's dog.
Oh, that'd be awful.
For sure.
That would be just awful. All right, Major. As always, a great pleasure. Enjoy the next couple of weeks. Look forward to getting back with you. We got the Sportsman's Classic coming up next month. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yes, sir, and we got SeaWee, Southeastern Wildlife Exposition, this weekend in Charleston.
You enjoy, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Thank you so much, Major Billy Downer. Yeah, we tried to do fancy electronic stuff with him out there in the country in Sumter. No good. I think the coyote ate his router. That'll do it. Have yourselves a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night on the road, heading down the coach's clinic. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Pat, and we'll see you tomorrow.